Earlier this year, a group that advocates for Michigan municipalities relaunched an effort to better fund cities and local units of government. According to compilations by the Michigan Municipal League using data from the House Fiscal Agency, Michigan has diverted a total of $7.5 billion in revenue-sharing money from local governments since 2002. The Michigan Municipal League's Save My City effort focuses on what it and many others say are the negative consequences of those cuts and similar forces in play. So 7 months after the relaunch and after many discussions around the state, where is the league's effort? Are they changing mind? What are they hearing? What have they learned? Tony Mangini is the Associate Executive Director and COO of the Michigan Municipal League. Welcome, Tony.
Thanks for having me.
The Save My City effort relaunched back in March. We had you on at that time. Mm-hmm. We had you on Current State at that time. And you and your colleagues have been traveling the state ever since, talking about what you and many others allege is our broken model for municipal revenue. What impact do you feel you're having in this effort?
Well, it's certainly something that is being discussed a lot more than it has been a number of years. We've had over 130 articles published around the state, spoken to about 30-plus groups around the state trying to get this message out, because what we think is important for everybody to understand, this isn't a city issue or a Lansing issue. It's an issue that affects people. It affects businesses, because if their local governments can't provide the services that they need, it affects them. And so we're trying to get people to understand and put it in their terms why they should care, why it matters, and encouraging them to have those conversations with their legislators as well. So, and it's starting, I think, to have an impact, and discussions for the first time, I think, are starting to take place.
What's the mood like out there as you travel the state and have these discussions? What kinds of things are stakeholders saying about this landscape in terms of mood? What kind of mood signals are you picking up
here? Well, you know, it's interesting, because I think the first, as I do this presentation, I think it starts off with a surprise, because we have a pretty strong economy right now in a general sense, and people would assume that cities must be doing well, since they probably on a personal level feel like things are improving. And as you start to lay out how Michigan's municipal finance model works, and they realize that that's just not the case for the local governments, then that our general impression has been, and the mood has been, that they're supportive of trying to take a new look at this.
What are the most common symptoms you're hearing about that a city or township might be having that's facing these kinds of financial pressures? Is this playing out on the ground?
Yeah, so let me answer it this way. So we already talked about revenue sharing. And so for the vast majority of cities in Michigan, their two biggest sources of revenue are property taxes and revenue sharing. Property taxes, usually about half. Revenue sharing, somewhere 25-30% is typically what you see. So revenue sharing, as we've talked about, has had some pretty major diversions away from that $7.5 billion. And when you start looking at it on a community-by-community basis, for example, I just spoke in Flint a couple nights ago, and they've lost over $60 million. I was in Troy yesterday. They've lost almost $24 million. So you can start to see the impact that has on a community. You can sort of put some context to it and think about what you might want to do. But the other one, then, is property taxes. And Michigan State has done a study, and they rank Michigan's property tax system to be the second most restrictive in the nation, second to only Colorado. And so what's happened with that is, coming out of the Great Recession, where we saw significant reductions in taxable values for people's homes, businesses, and the like, the way our system's built is we are now stuck at those lower levels. And so on the whole, Michigan's taxable values in 2014, we're at 2005 levels, and they can only grow at inflation or 5%, whichever is less. And last year, inflation was less than 1%.
Yeah.
So you can imagine how difficult it is to provide services. And when you think of some of our most negatively impacted, and this number is fresh in my head just because I spoke there the other day, but Flint in 2016's taxable value is lower than it was in 2000. And I'd like to tell you how far I have to go back before I get to that number, but the state's records only go back to the year 2000, and it's still higher than it is in 2016.
I shouldn't be surprised to hear that, but it's still kind of stunning to understand that 16 years later, taxable values are still under what they were. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, but it appears that improving municipalities' financial standing is kind of like a three-legged stool, or that appears to be the approach you're taking here.
Absolutely.
One leg is state revenue sharing. Another would be what you just alluded to, more options for municipalities to generate more of their own revenue. And finally, third, cost cutting. Is it generally accurate to look at it that way, or am I leaving something out?
Well, we also think we can think more structurally as well. So the three legs, as we sort of define them, is revenue in general. We sort of put that all in one bucket. The cost, absolutely. And structure is another thing we could talk about. So let me talk about those, if I could, just
please.
Quickly. Cost, for example. We have an incredible OPEB problem, which is retiree health care, essentially, other post-employment benefits in Michigan. And we did a study of our 300 biggest members, and that unfunded obligation was $6.5 billion. And it's not uniform across the state. On average, it's only funded about 18%. Now, most people think about pensions being a problem. We think OPEB's the real deal. So one of the things we've been talking about is there's better ways, we think, to deliver that benefit so folks could still have a good health care and retirement that isn't going to break the backs of communities. There are communities spending upwards of 30% of their general operating budget to provide for legacy costs. That's unsustainable. So taking a look at costs like that, and that's going to require help from Lansing. And we've been very forward about that. But there's opportunities there. When we think about structure, think about the infrastructure in this state. We have expanded infrastructure by an incredible amount, but we haven't added people. And so we're asking the same number of people in Michigan to support significantly more infrastructure. And then we wonder why there's not enough money to support that infrastructure. Because, again, when you expand it without increasing demand, so we sort of abandoned the infrastructure we built. So if we thought differently about the structure, how we deliver services, you know, maybe incent folks to use the infrastructure that we have or fully leverage the infrastructure we have before we build new, there's opportunities there as well. And then on the revenue side, we talked about the two big ones, but there's other things that could be looked at, local option and other things.
Tony Mengeni is the Associate Executive Director and COO of the Michigan Municipal League. We're talking about the league's Save My City effort, which relaunched back in March. They are traveling the state here discussing what ails Michigan's municipalities here in a financial way and revenue sharing. The shrinkage of state revenue sharing is a big part of this equation. Isn't it essential that you make headway in the legislature?
Absolutely.
And are you doing that? Do you feel like you're making progress there?
Well, we do, actually. And I said it's open with that. People are actually talking about this. This has been a conversation that there probably hasn't been good, honest conversation for a long time. The administration has been open to having these conversations. The governor's office indicated this is an issue that they're paying attention to and I think plan to, in some form or fashion, deal with as the balance of his term. We've had our folks here in Lansing have had lots of conversations with different legislators who maybe don't agree with every aspect of it, but different folks have interest in different things. And we're starting to have some meaningful conversations about that, which I think is obviously a big first step because that really hasn't happened for some time. If our cities fail, we all fail. And I think people are starting to realize that this relationship needs to, be more equitable.
I reached out yesterday to Gideon DeSandro. Gideon is the staff chief for House Speaker Kevin Cotter, and I'm trying to understand where the Republican caucus, in the House at least, stands on this issue. And he responded, quote, "I think you can look at the last couple of budgets to see our position. After some lean years, funding for locals is up. So is funding for local school districts and state support for emergency services like police and fire." It is true, isn't it, that in recent years, statutory revenue sharing is indeed going up, correct?
I disagree with that a little bit. Revenue sharing in general has gone up slightly in the last few years. Much of that is due to the constitutional increase, because there's two buckets for revenue sharing. There's constitutional and statutory. And so a couple of those years, there were not statutory increases, but the constitutional, so overall revenue sharing went up.
Okay, I might have had it backwards.
Yeah, so,
there,
but what they fail to recognize is we are at historically low levels. So the fact that if your historical review is going to only be the last couple of years, yes, revenue sharing has inched upwards, but we're at the bottom of the valley. as we're having that conversation. This has been in a decline since 2002. So this, I want to be clear, this is not about this administration or this legislature. This has been going on since the early 2000s. It's something we've been talking about for some time. But we're nowhere near the levels that were promised to local government when we did this switch back when Proposal A passed.
So, Tony, if you could craft legislation, if you could craft a measure and get it signed, get it through the House, get it through the Senate, and get it signed as specifically as possible, what would that measure call for?
Well, I'll lay a little bit of reality over that because I know they don't have. So right now we're pushing around $700 million of shortfall from what should be if we were fully funding the formula. I realize there's not $700 million of money floating around the budget right now. But I do think we got into this over time. I think we could start making headway going out over time. I think if we could phase in over some reasonable number of years, real increases, not, 2 or 3% increases, real increases into that, that would be important. The second thing that we have completely abandoned because of the way the cuts initially started is there's really no formula right now. The formula for distributing revenue sharing used to take into account a number of factors, how big the place was, the type of community they were, their relative tax effort. In other words, their ability to generate revenues off the values they have. So revenue sharing used to help level the playing field for communities that maybe don't have the revenue raising capacity because their properties aren't worth as much. So we'd have to also incorporate that back into that. And if we could get there, I think that'd be a huge step forward.
But this would be statutory.
Yes.
A bump in the in statutory revenue sharing. Mm-hmm. The constitutional is baked in the cake.
Yes, is
that correct?
Yep. And the constitutional is just a straight per capita. It makes no distinction between, a community's role in their region or size or any of those factors I just talked about. And those pots used to be about even. Constitutional, and in fact, statutory used to be bigger than constitutional. And now statutory is $200 million-ish and constitutional is like nine, I think.
A historical question here. How was this cutting rationalized here over the years? How was it justified?
Well, the honest answer is they put their interests ahead of local governments. So if you go all the way back to when it first started, I think
They put the legislature,
the administration and the legislatures at those times. So I'll go all the way back to, I think Engler was the first one to cut it. So I'm okay. Painting everyone with both parties. I'll throw the rock.
It happened under Jennifer Granholm as well.
It happened throughout Jennifer Granholm's administration. And I think there was a belief early on that this problem was temporary, that our economic issue, their budgetary issues were temporary. And this was going to be, we'll just take a little something off the top. And it wasn't significant at first. So even local government kind of grumbled a little bit and said, well, this will come back. And it was always next year we're going to get them. And next year never came. And in fact, it worsened and it worsened. So when they were placing budgetary priorities, they said, look, the state bureaucracy is going to win out over the delivery of local services, police, fire, parks, and the like. And they've pushed that down to us. And a little bit more historical perspective. If you go back to when we shifted to all sales tax revenue sharing, that goes back to Proposal A. Most people think about that as a school funding measure when we added 2 cents to the sales tax, or they think about it as that component that limited growth on your particular home in terms of increases. But there was another part of it. If you're a local government person, we used to get a piece of all the different revenue sources at the state, income tax, sales tax, intangibles tax, inventory reimbursement. There were all these little pots of money. And one of the things that the state said as part of the sales pitch, if you will, to get local government to support that change was, we'll give you a bigger piece of the sales tax because that's a more stable source of revenue and you can rely on that because it's very difficult for local government to handle fluctuations. Made sense. And they were absolutely right. Throughout the entirety of the recession, that was a very stable source of revenue. Very minor dips, very minor increases. It's a very stable source. But what they didn't do is absorb it. They took that stable source of revenue away from local government and shoved their problem down to us.
Tony Mangini is the Associate Executive Director and COO of the Michigan Municipal League. We've been talking about the financial landscape for local units of government across Michigan. He is an advocate of increased revenue sharing at the state level. Tony, thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it.